Aye.
I note for the record, all members are present, however, members are due. Mr. Chairman, I first ask to amend the agenda to include executive session due to pending litigation. Start the number four.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do that, yes. Okay, first item, motion to approve list of bills as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Second, motion to approve the remake of ballot. We have some remakes from the February 2nd election for the Miamisburg School District. The first set I put to the board is the absentee remakes, and all the remakes are due to marginal marks. We need approval to run those per directive before we do the final numbers of the election. Second. Favor?
Aye.
The next set is the provisional paper ballots, following the same category of marginal marks.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next thing in regards to this election, I have three provisional ballots that did not have the proper ID box checked. It appears all three of them requested an absentee ballot. They did not vote the absentee ballot. Therefore, they showed up at the precinct on election day, voted the provisional ballot, but the poll workers did not check form of ID provided, and did not check the ID could not be provided either. Very similar, we've had these type of ballots in previous elections. No way to determine on the face of the envelope itself if they provided ID or not. I believe the board ruled to err on the favor of the voter. Therefore, it's poll worker error for not properly checking that. And the secretary has issued a directive stating that if it's poll worker error,
and it was not all the same poll workers. So.
I'd have to look.
Yeah, I think it was 2-1. But still, as we've said every time before, do a great job in training. Up because we don't want to disenfranchise, but I move to accept these three ballots.
Second.
There.
Aye.
Aye. And I got a couple absentee ballots here that I need to the board. These two absentee ballots were returned. Everything's in order with the exception of the ballot stub was not in the envelope or attached to the ballot. That's a requirement. That the ballot stub should be returned with the ballot. And that's to ensure the ballot that was issued to that voter is the ballot that was returned. The directive specifically states that the, and not just the directive, but within the revised code, that the ballot must be stub must be attached, or at least with the ballot when returned.
would move to not be most constructive.
Second.
And there was four ballots, one that was not signed by the voter, which is a fatal flaw as well, and then three that was turned in at the polling location on election day, but not given to us. Now, what's unique about these three, in the past, we've always had to have it in our hands by 7:30. The law changed that if it was postmarked the day before the election, then it could be returned up to 10 days after.
Steve, is it already working? Because they're a little bit different. Can we move to this one ballot and then get... I would move to reject the ballot marked in the not.
Second.
All in
favor?
Aye.
That is, those are a little different.
These are three that were mailed out. Instead of mailing them in, they're being here to drop them off at the polling location.
Correct.
And in the past, we've always not counted those because of the previous law. And I don't believe the new law change allows these type of ballots to be counted, but I did want to make the board aware that there's three absentees that fell under that category.
And again,
We typically don't bring this to the board because it was apparent in the past that this could not be counted. But I did want to present these to the board because of the law change, even though it doesn't directly relate to this.
And we've always trusted you as our lawyer, even when they came in the room. But we're comfortable that in fact, are comfortable that the new law changes do not impact what is required of us on these matters.
That's my understanding. Betty's understanding as well.
Then I will move to reject those two ballots.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And if we could delay the certification to allow CC and Kim to take those ballots and approve to count them, then we'll run the final reports and put that at the end of the agenda. Okay. That's okay.
I think I have one question. One of the three provisionals that we just opened that you approved has a marginal mark.
Get approval to have that remade, as you can see. Marginal mark that's an exit scanner may or may not.
I would move it to authorize the remake.
We'll get that next up, I think, also. And I second it.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
We'll run that and then just bring us final reports and stuff. Petition that is submitted to the board. It was timely filed. It had sufficient amount of signatures in the petitions for Mr. Joseph Ellis. He filled out the top portion of the Declaration of Candidacy. He included the November election date instead of the primary election date. It states primary election to be held on this X date, which would be May 4th, and the candidate actually placed November 7th on there.
We have had this happen before, have we not?
We have, and I believe Vic also weighed in on it and said it was not a fatal flaw because there was no deception of the voter by putting either the primary date or the general election date.
Has the Secretary of State ever commented on this?
I believe Betty talked to...
Okay.
two petitions that appear to be invalid. The first set of petitions is for Jeffrey Dalton. He had insufficient amount of signatures that were required to place his name on the ballot. He needed 50, and he only had 30 valid signatures. And just a matter of record, he only turned in 54 total signatures. So insufficient amount of signatures to be placed on the ballot.
I would move that we not place his name on the ballot for insufficient signatures.
And I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The next candidate on the petitions appear invalid is for David Ezrati, attempting to run for the 3rd Congressional District. Mr. Ezrati came in the office on the filing deadline at approximately 3:30. As the board has always directed us to do for all candidates, is to review the petitions before they're filed to make sure there's no apparent defects or issues. And when I looked at the petitions prior to being filed, I noticed in the declaration of candidacy that Mr. Ezrati had the date of filing, which was February 18th, typed in on his petitions. And then all of the signatures from the signers were predated that date. And I informed him that that is in the past has been a fatal flaw, that he may want to consider not filing because you have to pay an $85 filing fee, and that started the discussion. And then after that discussion and talking about the situation, I also pointed out to him on the petition where it clearly states the candidate must fill in, sign, and date this declaration before petitions are circulated. He took exception to the logic of the date, and it has to be for the signers. He made the position, I believe, that he would not qualify to run for office until this board certified the petitions, and then he chose at that point to go ahead and file. So he officially filed, and we presented to this board as a questionable petition based on that requirement. Also, it's important to note that Mr. Petrotti did not take these petitions out of our office, because this board has also been very clear. Provide proper information to help candidates complete this petition and all the requirements to file for office, because it would have been clearly explained to him and any other candidate that took petitions that that date needed to be filled out and signed. The candidate had to fill that out and signed prior to circulation. It is also in the instructions from the Secretary of State that says the petition requirements and candidate qualifications, that the statement of candidacy must be completed, signed in ink, and dated by a candidate before any signatures of electors may be added to the petition. I also would like to tell the board that Mr. Ezrati suggested that we have these petitions online on our website. That way, when a candidate fills that out, that the date is automatically put in there to avoid this problem. Would have avoided this problem and would avoid any problem in the future. I believe that all 88 counties and the Secretary of State does not have that option, and I'm not sure that is an option that we want to have in the future for different reasons, but I did want to make the board aware of that. With that, I present these petitions with those issues.
Just a couple questions, if I could, Steve. I want to make sure that I understood. This petition wasn't taken at the counter by a walk-in, because I know we had a question raised. We made it very clear we wanted the staff to be very cautious and help the folks prepare and answer any questions they can. This was taken offline somewhere.
I'm not sure where he obtained this petition. I'd ask Mr. Trotty on that. I don't have any knowledge of that.
I got a question for legal counsel. Vic, is there any way for us to allow this petition to move forward? Is this a fatal flaw?
I think it's a fatal flaw. It's a voter fraud issue. I mean, when you have things in the petition itself that actually predates the date that's in the declaration of candidacy, you don't know what was Yeah, Debbie, they get back or fill out the declaration of candidacy when it's officially circulated. And even though 3513.07 says that petition shall be substantially in the form as provided in the statute, you know, substantially in the form of, I think, means contain all of the information, but not necessarily in the form that it's specifically stated there. And obviously, one of the things that is required is the date signature of the candidate prior to the circulation of the petitions. There's also the secretary has provided the board with a manual called Petition Requirements and Candidate Qualifications that was prepared by my old friend Gretchen Quinn and the legal counsel's office of the secretary. And it specifically also says in there that statements of candidates must be completed, signed, and identified by the candidate before and signatures of electors may be added. So for those reasons, it's my opinion that that is in fact the uniform.
And this, again, is an issue that we have addressed on this board before, and what has been the board's past?
Obviously, I mean, based on the note that's specifically on the prescribed form that's issued by the Secretary of State and the petition requirement documentation we have from the Secretary of State, it has always been this board's position to follow those rules and the statute that's applied to this requirement. And the board has not approved those petitions.
And though this is not required by any manner or means, has there been any conversation regarding this issue with the Secretary of State's office?
Again, I took a phone call yesterday from a gentleman by the name of Tim, who was contacted by Mr. Ezrin. It was Tim's opinion or misunderstanding that there was a protest to Mr. Ezrin's petition, and of course I explained to Tim that we hadn't certified it, therefore there actually couldn't be a protest yet. And so he asked specifically what the problem was. We pulled up the petition together and looked at it, and he made it very clear to me that it has to have a signature and a date prior to circulating to the hand of the person.
This is a representative from the Secretary of State's office of Columbus, you call it the...
Correct.
You don't know his last name, his first name is Tim.
Yeah.
For certain, from the Secretary.
Yes.
I mean, I recall this issue before, but I want to make sure Mr. Ezrin here is from legal counsel. We have no choice in this matter. We need to understand the wisdom of the counsel from this board.
You wish to address the board, Mr. Ezrin?
Yes, I do, Mr. Gant.
Please,
thank you.
Swear, man.
No.
I heard you previously certify a petition by Mr. Joe Ellis, and you said there was no deception of the voter. And that is really what we're discussing here. If I fraudulently circulate these petitions by having the date of turn-in versus a date of declaration of candidacy beforehand. Well, I categorically say to you that I did not. There was no deception of the voters intended, and that every one of these signatures was gotten by me personally, face to face, with voters who are registered in the Democratic Party in Ohio 3, who knew that I was running for Congress. Now, I've done this before. I've been here before, and I've learned to dot my I's and cross my T's. Now, I told by Mr. Harsman and from Ms. Merkel that, you know, if I had come in to get this petition and gotten your packet and everything would have been okay and you would have helped me out. Well, let's take a look historically at how well that's worked. We have issues with Mr. Ellis. He came in and got the petition. We've had issues with city commission candidates where we had 11 candidates come in and pick up petitions, and three incumbents got on and two challengers, and that was it. So your batting record is less than 50% when you help people out at moving through this.
I'll stop you for just a second,
yes.
Because I happen to know Mr. Ellis did not come in and get his petitions here, so you're assuming facts.
Okay. Well, I do know that
you don't know.
I do know that out of 11 candidates for city commission, only five made the ballot, three incumbents. Now, I also know that, you know, if we're going to pick dates and talk about specific dates that have to be filled out, specific forms, there has to be a level of consistency. The same level of consistency has to be applied in every case. that cannot be the case because I have petitions in front of me right here where the dates vary widely in where they're filled out, how they're filled out. Yet it seems that incumbents, Democrats and Republicans, always get on the ballot. Now, I have petitions here for mayor or commission. And it says to be voted on at the blank election held on the third day of May for Ryan McLean. And it says primary. And here it is for Nan Whaley to be held on the general election. Now, wait a second. We can't have two different dates and still have the form be correct.
We're comparing apples.
No, there is no apples.
I'm giving you a chance to speak, and you're going to let me speak. I'm chairman of this board. Okay?
Yes, no problem.
City of Dayton is separate. They go by charter. We have to incorporate their rules into what we do. So we're not comparing. If you heard us discuss this, if you were listening.
I was listening.
We bend over backwards to make every exception we can. In fact, the only time we don't make exceptions is when the law is clear, the Secretary of State has told us, or our legal counsel said you can't bend. Otherwise, we try to bend over backwards to make exceptions for everybody.
I'm going to tell you something. There are 68 signatures, I believe, I turned in. And every one of those people thought they were putting a candidate on the ballot for Congress. They knew exactly who that candidate was. They knew exactly what their intent was. They did not refuse to sign. There's no question of their signatures or their validity. Now, regardless of how I filled out the form or how correctly or incorrectly, that does not change the will of the people. Those people filed a petition, and it doesn't do me any good to get 150 signatures or 200 signatures or 500 signatures. You're going to check 50 plus one or two before you say it's okay. I know the process. But those voters, those are the people that you work for. Those are the people that I am trying to represent. There was no deception. They were talking directly to the candidate. The petition was signed. It had a date on it that happens to be the date of turn-in. Now, I can declare candidacy anytime I want, quote, unquote, right? That's what you're saying. I could have put this date of last year and said I declare to be a candidate. I could have gathered the signatures and brought it in.
That's not what we said.
Hold on.
Just for sake of argument, it's not what we said.
Well, it has to predate the date of the quote, signatures. Somehow, I have to circulate a form, a piece of paper to get their signature, which every one of them was dated and had in ink and has their putting the date in, not me putting the date in, their handwriting saying the date. Those dates are not refutable, correct? Their positions are not. We don't have a problem with that. The qualification.
I have not seen any of these people. You're assuming facts that are not true.
Well, we can march all.
I'll take your word.
We can march every one of them in, and they will say, yes, he came to me on that date.
And
I filled out the petition.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
A couple things, Mr. Esserati, I think are important. I personally believe that very possibly what you're saying is true, that it was legitimate. The problem is we as a board cannot just by whim decide because the please listen, we listen
I
to
understand
you,
that
the candidate is an honorable person, he had to have behaved honorably regardless. It so happens under Ohio election law, both as handled by the Secretary of State, as interpreted by our legal counsel, as dealt with by this board, there are what we call fatal and non-fatal flaws. This is not a function of decisions made by this board or these three or four board members. It is a function of rulings from legal counsel and the Secretary of State, which we as board members are forced to abide by. Unless we are told it is a fatal flaw and we have no discretion, this board traditionally has bent over backwards to put a candidate on the ballot, to allow a vote to be counted, to have a petition signer's signature accepted. But when we are told by counsel and by Secretary of State that this is a fatal flaw, you cannot accept those petitions. That is what we are bound to do. You can argue it is arbitrary. You can argue it is unfair. You can argue
what
you wish.
I'm not arguing
please,
it's unfair.
But it is what we must operate under. The recourse, which obviously is not a recourse for you in this circumstance, is to change the law. But until the law is changed or until a Secretary of State tells us differently, that is what we are bound by.
So, from here, the next step is to appeal to the Secretary of State. correct?
No.
Protest to the Secretary of State?
They can...
No.
What is the process?
He's asking the board for legal advice.
Yeah.
I'm advising you not to give him legal advice.
Okay.
He can seek counsel if he wants to do that.
How is this helping the voters have their justice done? How does this help the process by saying that you will not even tell me what the appeal process is? What is the appeal process? I am asking, as a citizen of the United States, of Montgomery County, what the appeal process is to this board, which is in charge legally of putting people on or off the ballot. That is not a question that should be escaped. You are not doing any justice by doing that.
You're making a statement, and you have, according to the rules of the board, 2 minutes to do that. I believe your 2 minutes is up. But at any rate, you're talking about...
So you're saying I fraudulently turned in 68 signatures.
I didn't say that. Excuse me. You want to know what the process is with regard to where you go from here or how you go from here. It's contained in the Ohio Revised Code. I'd suggest you go down 3rd Street to the Montgomery County Public Library, which is, by the way, handicap accessible, and look at the code.
Okay.
Or hire a lawyer.
And your name for the record is?
My name is Wisman.
Wisman. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, Mr. Gant, no disrespect here, but the voters signed. There was no confusion. If you're saying that their signatures are invalid, I want to be brought up on charges for turning in a fraudulent document.
No one is saying that.
Okay. So,
Mr. Ezzerati, I believe the board's, your allocated time is over. Mr. Chairman, I move to reject Mr. Ezzerati's petition for recommendation.
Second petition.
All right.
Thank you.
Mr. Ezzerati.
Thank you, Mr. Ezzerati.
All right. The next award is the Democratic
appears invalid for two Democratic Central Committee members, Carla Clay and Tanita Cole. These two candidates actually faxed in their declaration of candidacy, which we don't have an original signature. Therefore, I recommend not to approve those two declaration of candidacy.
I'm not sure where you want it.
I don't want to, but I'd like to stick out of it.
Yeah.